Gracious and loving God, we are so blessed. Blessed with the gift of your Spirit upon us today. Blessed with the incredible ministry that you call us to. Blessed with your word this day. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear how you are calling us. Calling us into this life, into guiding our hands and our feet, into the daily ministry that you call us to. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning. We are in the midst of finishing up the 12 days of Christmas. Did you know it? Now, this is not the 12 days that you shop before Christmas. Believe it or not. It is the period between Christmas Day and when Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus and close in the midst of this Epiphany Sunday that is today. Actually, Epiphany is tomorrow, but we cheat it and move it to this Sunday. One day. This word Epiphany is an incredible word. It reminds us of this manifestation of Christ or this incredible celebration of a divine being or presence or this sudden reminder or insight. Have ever you ever said, oh, I've had an epiphany? No? Oh, darn. Maybe it's just us weird church geek folks, right? Maybe. But that word manifestation is Greek. It's that revelation, this showing forth of what God has in store. That's what this Epiphany season is all about. Now until Lent, that we are reminded that God has set forth this incredible light in Christ for all of us to see. Now, of course, in this incredible text, this gospel today in Matthew, it tells of some wise men, wise ones, magi or kings or messengers or astrologers who follow a star from the east to find a babe born in a manger, right? Now, I wonder how many of you maybe need some baby names or grandbaby names or even maybe great-grandbaby names. How many of you know those names of those magi, kings, or wise ones? Anyone? What? Balthazar? Anybody? Oh, they got him. Yes, 10 points. Oh, wait, 100 points on Jeopardy. That's right, the first one. You got it. Melchior, Casper, and Balthazar. Those are top names, right? Baby names right now. I challenge any of you. And of course, these wise ones also brought gifts of what? Do you remember? Gold and myrrh. And does anybody know what myrrh is? Who? Scented oil. That's right. Of course. And now these gifts themselves are certainly foretelling. How many of you know what these gifts mean? Gold is for great kings. Frankincense are for great priests to be incense. That I will never burn here, folks, so get. Can't do it. You like them? Sorry. Yeah, I did too, but, you know, I left the church when they did that because I couldn't breathe. Myrrh is to be used for those who will suffer and die. So what incredible gifts that these wise ones brought. They were quite foretelling as gifts for Jesus. An amazing reminder. But now here is a myth buster for all of you. Right, folks? Didn't the wise men, the wise ones, visit Jesus on the night of Jesus' birth? Like in all of the church pageants, right? The number of people, weren't there three of them? In fact, the Bible mentions three gifts, doesn't it? But not three people who carried them. Nothing is mentioned about the actual number of kings, magi, wise ones, their robes, their turbans, their crowns that they wear in every Christmas pageant around the world, right, folks? Nor does it say that they rode on camels or how they learned the star would lead them to the babe in Bethlehem. It just mentions that the star went ahead of them. Many people have just filled in the blanks, since Epiphany came, a festival in the church from the second century. How many times have we read something or seen something or heard something and we have what? Filled in the blanks. Yet I think what is so important for us to take with us today in this gospel story that is so unique. What I see in this story is what Matthew brings to light, the true light, that God's salvation extended beyond Jesus' immediate Jewish community to include Gentiles as well, to be opened to all. The visit of the Magi, the wise one, foretells that this broad message was a message of inclusivity. And together with the Great Commission, this incredible message was for all nations. It frames Jesus' life around welcome, around this thing called inclusivity. That not only insiders or God's Israelite chosen people were welcome, but also outsiders who came from afar, right? Are part of God's great reality of divine love. All are included in God's great divine love. And this love was shared with Jesus born in a manger. And what is interesting is that we are to follow that light of love. And how are we to all see that guiding star, that guiding light, that guiding in us unfolding in this gospel story today? Now, many Christmas cards feature that bright star hovering over the Holy Family, right? But let's hear really in Matthew's gospel maybe a different suggestion. What we hear in the gospel story is in the time of King Herod, who wasn't such a nice king, right, folks? After, we miss this one word in the gospel. After Jesus was born. So, did they show up the night Jesus was born? It was after he was born. But it doesn't give us a timeline. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And as I read this text, I ponder to myself reading it. We don't get the details about the wise men's or the wise ones' trips, about what obstacles and dangers and difficulties that they met along the way, or what differences they may have had between one another on this trip. How many of you have gone on a long trip, right? Crammed in a car for how many days? We don't know how they journeyed, but it was a long trip. They would have had to choose what to pack, where to meet. They would have had to decide what they really needed to take with, what they had to leave behind. And maybe in this new year as well, we need to maybe think about doing some of the same things, about what we need to prioritize in our lives and in our daily journeys. Plus, the wise ones had to get along. It was a long, long journey in the desert. Now, they came from Prussia or modern-day Iran, many people think, possibly even further. And it was quite the bumpy journey. We don't even know really who they were. Philosophers, astronomers, astrologers. Whether it was 2, 3, 5, 10, maybe more. But to arrive together, this is the key. They had to be committed. Discerning this path together, to sticking together, to waiting for each other, working with one another, keeping their eyes open, and following what God had provided, that star, that path, that direction. Following what God had provided, the direction. And when they arrived at their first destination, note that, how many destination stops did they have? They went to where first? Herod, and then they went to. Does God always give us a clear path? Not necessarily, folks. Sometimes we have a couple of stops along the way, and we don't always know exactly what God has in store for us. Sometimes we have to stop and ask for what? Direction. And that's not always easy, is it, folks? Easier for some than others, as I just heard. I got a little commentary after first service this morning. But sometimes we have to ask for directions. We have to invite others into that journey. Because following God's call is not always a straight path. And we hear that in this story today. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed the star at its rising. We saw the original pointing that God gave us. And King Herod was frightened, and so were the people in Jerusalem, because they didn't notice God's directing point. Not everybody always sees it. Sometimes God unfolds incredible things along the way for us to see. And this time, only the Magi were the ones that noticed the star at its rising on that clear, visible night. Herod was dependent on the visitors and the wise ones to lead him to the child. And sometimes we, too, need to open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, and our eyes to see what God has called us to and invite others into that journey with us. Sometimes that journey, we don't always know how many stops we have to take along the way. And when they heard this story and they heard what they had to say about where Jesus was, they went. And when they went, the star appeared again to continue with them on that journey until it stopped where the child was. Folks, when we follow God's call, it stops sometimes and helps us see where we need to be. It helps us in that journey. And what's incredible is when it stopped, the wise ones were filled with joy. They knew that God was with them in that journey, and they were overwhelmed with joy. This points us that there are unnoticed ways that God enters in our lives and provides incredible opportunities for those epiphanies, right, folks? Small and large, those shining moments when God slips into the world and brings joy and love in unexpected moments, right, folks? Those unexpected moments is Jesus being born into the world in a lowly manger in a small but nothing town, when the wise ones were meeting with a not-so-nice king and going on their way alone. And when God was noticed in the gift of the wise ones on their journey, but also us noticing that bright star, those opportunities, those epiphany moments, you and me, that we may only see in our lives. And always not to who or what we expect either, right, folks? Here's one opportunity to see.
Of all the stories that Steve Hartman has covered on the road this year, the one that's been shared the most by our viewers is the story of school bus driver Curtis Jenkins. Tonight, Steve has a big surprise.
You can see why someone might hate being a school bus driver. The early hours, when the weather sours, the abundance of responsibility combined with the absence of eyes in the back of your head.
Y'all have a good day.
Nevertheless, as we first reported last May, Curtis Jenkins loves delivering these little ones to Lake Highlands Elementary in Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
Emily Grunninger is the principal.
He goes way beyond the outlined responsibilities and duties of a bus driver. I mean, that bus is like a family.
These are my children. These are my community. I love them all.
To establish community,
what's your job, man?
He starts by giving everyone responsibility.
This is one of the police officers.
It's an elaborate flowchart.
She's an administrative assistant to the president.
Administrative assistant to the president.
Yeah.
Everyone working together to build a yellow bus utopia.
And we're going to care about each other, and we're going to love everybody, right?
I put time, effort, love, care, understanding each and every one of those kids.
Omar.
to show his love and understanding.
Hey, Chief.
Curtis gives presents throughout the year.
You say you like baseball.
Each gift personally selected with that child in mind. He gave this girl a t-shirt.
Her first book.
With a picture from a book she made.
I'm hoping this t-shirt inspired her to keep on writing books.
Over the years, he has bought these kids bikes, backpacks, handed out cards on birthdays, and even turkeys at Thanksgiving. He has spent thousands out of his own pocket. And yet, if you ask the kids what they like most about Curtis, the gifts don't even come up.
He helps anyone in need.
Ethan Engel is a sixth grader.
It means a lot to you.
Yeah.
He says the bus ride is often the best part of his day.
My mom got divorced when I was only four.
I'll see you tomorrow.
He's the father that I always wanted. In some ways, I wish my dad could have been like that.
We make the mistake sometimes of thinking certain jobs are more important than others.
I know.
But Curtis Jenkins made his job important.
Bye-bye.
And in doing so, even created his own salary.
Bye-bye. That's the paycheck right there. If I can get that, you can keep the money.
He sought no reward, but after our story first aired, the kindness came back to him nonetheless. When an anonymous viewer reached out to school superintendent Jeannie Stone with a little thank you gift for Curtis.
You're gonna be driving this brand new car!
In addition to the car, she also gave him a promotion. Curtis now teaches others how to have better student relationships. For this old bus driver, 2019 sure proved to be quite a ride. Steve Hartman, on the road in Dallas.
Curtis Jenkins has followed quite a journey in his life, just like the wise ones. He certainly saw bright stars in all of his young people on his bus route and helped them shine brightly, as brightly as they could. So in this new year here at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection, what are the shining opportunities that we may be missing or not seeing right in front of us? Are we opening ourselves up to the journey like the wise ones took? Maybe asking for directions, realizing that it's not always a straight path. Looking for God's divine presence of love and joy and light, and being willing to be part of that incredible journey. Are we also considering that the wonders of this epiphany light, this revelation, are sometimes subtle, sometimes hidden, and often unnoticed? So what are the loving ways that we can be shining stars for the children, the youth, the families, friends, and people here at LCR, and people in our community right here in Racine that we don't even know? Because in this new year, loving Jesus and changing lives and reaching out to serve can bring such joy and love when that star stops over whoever is in need and to whoever God places in our path.